In developing countries, the importance of listening to the radio can't be underestimated. It can mean the difference between life and death. David Smith is director of Okapi Consulting, which sets up radio stations in conflict zones. He explains to Radio for Peacebuilding's Francis Rolt why radio is so instrumental in Africa.
Well, radio works as a tool to help, well, I guess in simplest terms, to help end the conflict. It gets people talking to each other rather than letting the rumor mill circulate. And when the rumors circulate in zones of conflict, people start killing each other because they don't have access to the truth.
But it can do the opposite as well, can't it? Like in Cote d'Ivoire, you know, the radios were used as almost as weapons of war by both sides.
No, of course, sure. I mean, radio is a strong tool. Radio is king in Africa. It's an extension of oral society. You mentioned Cote d'Ivoire. There was Radio Milcolin in Rwanda, where thousands of people's deaths were probably attributed directly to following instructions on that particular hate radio station. You know, people listen to the radio, and in many cases, even if the information isn't true, people tend to believe it. So it can be used as a force force for evil. I mean, in our case, you know, we try to use the power of radio as a force for good, because it does work in that way. In the main, we've tried to do in the radio projects I've been involved in, and the biggest is Radio Okapi in the Democratic Republic of Congo, is to get all the players in a conflict at a virtual table in a virtual studio to talk to each other. They're not necessarily in the same room. They don't necessarily like each other. They may, in fact, hate each other. But if there are a variety of belligerents speaking and their opposing counterpart is listening to what they're saying, and listeners, the general public, hears what they have to say, it's sort of straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, rather than second, third, fourth hand evidence.
You initiated and set up a radio station broadcasting from Kenya into Somalia. Has that been having any success?
It has had some success. It started off very well. Because we had an FM transmitter in Mogadishu, a remote studio in Mogadishu, main studios in Nairobi, and as was the case in the DR Congo, all were invited to contribute to the content.
And did they?
They did in the beginning. Even Al-Shabaab, even Hezbollah Islam, and even members supportive of the transitional federal government.
So they weren't opposing the radio station, Radio Bakulan, at that stage anyway?
A simple yes or no answer won't really do in that case. It was very hard getting that one off the ground, because the money came from the United Nations Trust Fund for the African Union Peacekeeping Mission in Somalia, AMISOM. So when we were starting things up, most people in Somalia believed we were setting up a voice of AMISOM or a voice of the transitional federal government radio station, which was not the case. I knew it wouldn't work if that's what we did. There's no sense going on the air with a radio that has no credibility from day one. So we made it very clear that it was not the voice of AMISOM, not the voice of the TFG, and certainly not the voice of Al-Shabaab or any other group in Somalia. It was a voice for Somalis, any Somalis who wanted to contribute to a discussion to lead the country to peace and stability.
Do you think that's the key to make sure that your radio is not seen as being biased or prejudiced, or at least taking sides?
Yes, very much so. I think it's a key, because I mean, the target audience is Somalis. The broad goal, the long-term aim of the radio service, the one that I set up in any case, was to contribute to peace and stability in Somalia. And whatever one thinks of the various groups in Somalia, whether they be the TFG, Hezbollah Islam, or Al-Shabaab, at the end of the day, they are Somalis. And when the international community leaves, when the Ugandan and Burundian troops leave Mogadishu, all the people who are in the previously mentioned groups will remain, like them or not. So they've got to find a way to live together. And if they don't have a tool that allows them to speak together, then they're never going to understand each other, and they're unlikely to find a peaceful solution to their problems. One of the big problems in Somalia is that there have been so many foreign actors playing in the area, and if you ask the average Somali, how do you fix Somalia, they'll say, well, let us come up with a solution, not you.
Do you have any other big project